Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Well, hey, friends, I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lee Nienheis. You are going to love our guest today. She's no stranger to Moms in Prayer and probably dearly loved by those of you who have been in Moms in Prayer for a while. Sharon Gamble is a former USA country coordinator and a self-diagnosed MIP lifer. Today, we're going to be talking about the role of pause, rest, and listening in our prayer and spiritual life. Sharon is full of ideas for how you can cultivate your relationship with Jesus so you can flourish in your role as a mom. I want to remind you that National Day of Collegiate Prayer is coming up on February 28th, 2019, and you can get involved no matter the stage of motherhood you are in. All the information and the two USA National Prayer Times are listed on our website at momsinprayer.org. Grab a warm cup of tea, that's Sharon's favorite, or a hot cup of coffee, that's my favorite, and settle in for this sweet time of learning. Well, sweet Sharon Gamble, welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm so happy you asked me.
Well, I am delighted to get to see you, friends. Many of our listeners will know exactly who you are and love hearing your voice today. But for our new friends, would you introduce yourself to our audience?
I'd be happy to. I'm Sharon Gamble. I live in New Hampshire, and for almost 5 years, I was the national director for Moms in Prayer International and loved it for the USA. And now I'm the founder and director of a new ministry called Sweet Sila Ministries, and it's sweet. However, I'm still leading Moms in Prayer group because I am a lifer. I love Moms in Prayer.
Oh, I know that's true. Tell us a little bit about your family.
I have a husband of almost 40 years named Ray, who, by the way, just took me shopping for a brand new wedding ring and band to celebrate our 40th anniversary. And I have a daughter, Catherine, and she has two children, one that is almost hers. We're praying for adoption soon. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, Mary, lives with us right now with four children, 7, 5, almost 3, and almost 1, while her husband is serving overseas. So that's my family. And I also have a really cute white puppy named Bella.
Such a great family. I love following you on Facebook because it's just always been a journey the last couple of years. God's always taking you into a new adventure. Tell us about your Moms in Prayer story and how you came into Moms in Prayer ministry.
Well, you know, I had a really weird beginning. My husband was in the military and we were overseas, and our pastor at our church there felt we weren't praying well as a church. Ray was a deacon at the time, and one of the women in our congregation was a Moms in Prayer mom. And so she gave the pastor the Moms in Prayer Leader's Guide, and the pastor took the four steps of prayer and asked every deacon to lead that style of praying for our congregation. And so my first experience praising, confessing, thanking, and interceding was not for children. It was for my church under the headship of my husband, which is really peculiar. But it was wonderful, and I fell in love with it. So when we moved back to the States, my husband retired and got a job at a Christian school. I started a Moms in Prayer group there as I sent my children to that school. So that was my beginning, and that was in 1997.
What an incredible story. That is so interesting. I love how our four steps of prayer, well, that's God's way, you know? And so, of course, it works in a church. And of course, your pastor led you into this and your husband led your prayer group. What, just our God is so good, so creative. What kept you in Moms in Prayer? Because you don't have kids in a Christian school anymore. So what's kept you praying?
Well, Lee, a couple of different things. First of all, I love that with Moms in Prayer, we enter into the very presence of God for that hour. So many times we chat about God or we do things that are very nice for God, but to be in his presence is my heart. And Moms in Prayer brings women into the very presence of God himself for that sweet hour. So I just love being with God. So that's part of it. Okay. And I have six adorable grandchildren, and I want to lift them up before the throne as well. And have so much fun praying with friends that I have prayed with since our kids were in high school. And we've watched them get married. We've watched them have children. We've watched them find churches of their own. It's been a wonderful journey. I can't imagine not praying with my friends.
I love it that you said that you're a lifer. Recently, with a busy schedule and with kids every which direction and sometimes traveling, I think it is a sacrifice to go this 1 hour this morning to, you know, like I could really use this hour, but then I think, where else would I go? Like almost like Peter said, you know, like, Lord, where else would we go but to you? And that's just like, we can't help but pray and make this a priority in our lives. This time with Moms in Prayer makes me rise up in power and do what we do as moms and grandmoms.
Absolutely. There's a discipline to it that keeps us focused that alone we can certainly do, but we don't do as well. And there's something about the power of coming to purpose that kind of solidifies what I want to see in my grandchildren's lives, building of character that goes on when we pray scripture. It's my greatest joy. It really is. I love my group.
I'm so glad that you said that. So I'm excited about the next journey that the Lord has you on, which I love that you said, we're not done with Moms in Prayer. We are always Moms in Prayer moms. So tell me a little bit about Sweet Selah Ministries and what you're doing right now.
Well, Sweet Selah Ministries, I think, has always sort of been living inside my soul, and I didn't know it, you know, because my heart is to bring women to God. I guess in America, with everything so comfortable, church can become club. It can be a fun place to go where our kids have fun activities, and you know, we can do good things like soup kitchens and sing stirring songs, and all of that is wonderful. But if we don't know the God who is behind all this, personally and intimately, if we ever face times of persecution, we're going to fall. We just are. We have to know him so well that if we're in a cell alone with no one and no fun at all, we have to know him so well that we can sing in that cell. And that only happens when we spend time, just us and him, when no one's looking. And so that's my heart for Sweet Selah. It's sweet because there's no sweeter place to be than with God. And it's a Selah, because Selah in the Bible means to stop and ponder. It's a time to pull away from the world for a bit and stop and ponder who our God is. It's not just like resting and having a pedicure. That is not Sweet Selah, the way I've defined it. It always involves spending time with God. So that's the genesis of it. And so I teach how to have quiet times. I do speaking engagements and weekends and retreats that are all about helping women spend time with God, just them and him.
Well, I imagine that it's hard to convince women to slow down in the middle of this busy, fast-paced society where we're always connected to listen to the Father. But why is this vital that we step away from the crazy and get alone with him?
It is hard. In fact, I think it's one of the hardest things we do. I think that that's why Satan kicks it into high gear for women that invest in Moms in Prayer, because they're spending that hour with God. And I think when we try to even spend 10 minutes with him in the morning, everything gets in the way of it. When we spend extended time with him, it's even harder, because it matters that much that we do it. God's greatest commandment is to love him. Love him. And how do you love someone you're never with? If that's the thing God wants from me the most, is my love, my goodness, I have to make that my highest priority. I really do. And when I do, my days go so much better. I'm just not a very nice person if I haven't started with that time of surrender and that remembering that I'm his, that I'm not my own, and that yoked with him, I can go through a day without stress because he's with me every step of the way.
Okay, so very practically then, Sharon, how do we begin to stop the busy and start listening. I mean, that sounds funny to somebody who thinks like, my God doesn't talk to me out loud. I mean, how do we start making this thing real? And what does this feel like? Where do we start?
Yes, that is so good a question, because it's sort of antithetical to the way Americans run their lives. We fill all our empty spaces with music or podcasts, which are wonderful, and other such things. But the stopping begins, I think, when we determine in our hearts that we want to love him, that we want to show our love to him by spending time with him. And it starts when we start small. I think sometimes what happens is you, at least I do, I think, oh, to have a quiet time, I need to, you know, have five great books to read. And I need to make sure that I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and maybe live. And I can make my time alone with God so complex, I never do it because it's just too hard. So instead of that, if I can say, Lord, just 10 minutes, my first available 10 minutes I want to spend with you, and keep it that simple to begin with, that makes all the difference in the world. Mm. So my book that I just wrote is very short. Somebody can do it in 10 minutes. Just read a verse, read the little descriptions, pray a prayer. And then if they have longer, they can go deeper into the word. But I think we have to start small, and we have to determine it's important.
Well, I think that what you're talking about not just benefits us spiritually, it can benefit us physically too. Because, I mean, I remember when I came into Moms in Prayer Leadership, one of my trainings was dog days. And mm-hmm. Sharon, did you develop dog days? Are you the one who did that?
Well, Marlay introduced it, but I'm the one as national director who sort of tried to almost demand it because I felt it was so important.
Okay, so wait, hang on. Explain what a dog day is. Because I was like, I'm sorry, what in the world are you talking about? Dog
day. Yes, kind of a strange name. And I've actually renamed it in my new ministry, Sweet Sela Days. But dog means day alone with God. What that simply means is just like, let's say, an old friend of yours from high school is visiting. So you say, oh my goodness, I've got to clear my calendar. I want to spend the day with her. So you get a babysitter for your kids, or you say to your friend Susie, if you'll watch my kids, I'll watch yours. And you set aside 4 or 5 hours to be with your old friend. And you go out to lunch and you enjoy her company. So in the same way, a planned day with God is putting him on your calendar and saying, this day, Lord God, I give to you. It's your day. And I've made plans for everything else to be put out of the way so I don't have to pray in a rush, so that I don't have to look at my watch and be done. So that if I want to sit and stare at beauty, whether it's ocean or mountain or desert, depending on where I live, I can sit and stare. My breathing can slow. I can be quiet. And you need 4 or 5 hours because honestly, Lee, the first hour is just calming the little chihuahua in your brain enough to listen. At least I do. It takes me a while to still my soul enough and to just be in his presence, to stop doing and just be with him. And all the things he teaches me when I'm just quiet like that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. We need to be still to know him and shut out the other voices from time to time. So when I was in Moms in Prayer, I asked my state coordinators to try to do one every month and asked my area coordinators to try to do 4 a year, because I felt that by stopping and listening, they would be better leaders. They would be better equipped to do if first they were be-ers before they were doers.
You know, I found while I was writing that if I would spend time in the morning with him alone and interact with my kids in the full pleasure of motherhood, but just really savor him in the day, even when my kids were present with me in the middle of busy writing days, that when I would sit down, I was more effective. That it was almost like he informed my days. If he could have my attention in the morning, that those mm-hmm. days were actually more productive. And mm-hmm. I think we see that pattern in scripture too, Sharon, don't you? I mean, this idea of rhythm and rest in our spiritual lives. We see that in the word, don't we?
Over and over, Lee. I mean, the Sabbath is a great example of that. And God himself, who certainly didn't need rest as God, worked for 6 days and created everything. Mm. And then he rested. And he's given us a pattern to follow. Work hard, yes. I mean, Jesus worked so hard he didn't have time to eat on occasion. So busyness itself is not sin, but work hard and then rest well. We see the rhythm in every 7 years, they got a year off if they'd done it right in Israel. How cool is that? You know, farm for 6 years and the seventh year live off crops from the year before. What? A year off? So God has built into us as human beings this dual need to work hard, to accomplish, to create, and then to stop. And we just get on this little hamster wheel and feel like we can't possibly stop, because if we do, the world will stop spinning. And yet we find the opposite, don't we? If we stop, we are then better equipped to get back to the busier parts of life. And Jesus did it too. Talk about a rhythm of rest. Often we find him getting up early, going away to pray, praying all night, leaving the crowds, taking his disciples away from the crowds. His rhythm was mostly healing and working and preaching, but he also had set aside times to be still. And he's our example. So it's worth the effort to stop. Mm-hmm. It really is.
And I think stopping means that we believe something about God too. It's a trust. I mean, as I reflect on that, it's that God is our provider and that he will do more for mm-hmm. us as we stop to obey him and love him, that he's worthy of our time. I mean, really, our being willing to stop is a reflection on who we believe him to be, right?
It sure is. It's trusting that what he says is true. Hmm. And what he says is stop.
Right?
Every seventh day, whatever that looks like for you, have a time of stopping, have times of pausing. Yeah. And every time I invest in a sweet seal a day, which is still once a month for me, I have a million things that are calling at me, pulling at me, undone things. And the lovely thing about the kind of stopping that's a sweet seal of stop is you don't wait till you're done. You stop right smack dab in the middle with God's permission, really. He said every seventh day to stop, not just stop every seventh day of, you know, you got your work done. And the same with the sweet seal of day. You just stop and go away and trust that that break, that listening will recalibrate you so that when you come back, you're actually more able to do the work he's assigned you because you've taken time to align yourself again with his will. So those are the longer pauses, but the morning pauses are like the brief surrender pauses when you have your quiet time and that sweet too.
And I know this has to be vital that we teach our kids. I hear all the time we're in a great social experiment about what technology is going to do in the lives of our children. And that'll just shake you up. But we need to spend time modeling this for our kids, don't you think?
Absolutely. I can remember when mine were tiny, I gave them Mr. Rogers for half an hour every morning, Monday through Friday. And while they watched Mr. Rogers, they knew Mommy was doing her quiet time. And I would tell them, Mommy is going to meet with Jesus now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to hear what he has to say from the Bible. This is super important to Mama. You watch Mr. Rogers and you enjoy and try to leave Mama alone. And one day, Lee, I went upstairs at a different time of the day and I went into my little girl Catherine's room and she said, shh, I'm having my quiet time, just like that. She was just like three, and she was having her own little quiet time because that's the pattern she saw in my life. I think that it shows our children that God is not just relegated to Sunday mornings or, you know, Bible study. God is a part of life at home, too. We want to show them that. We want to see them model it so that someday it's a very natural thing for them to expect that you take time every day to meet with God.
I know that we have a lot of grandmoms listening, or women who don't have children in the home right now and who continue to pray and that kind of thing. But I would just like to encourage them that there's probably a young mom in their life who would absolutely keel over with excitement if you said, hey, I'd like to give you a couple of hours alone, you know, just so that you can go and have a quiet time alone with the Lord. I imagine that if you said to your daughter, you know what, I'm going to take the kids for a few hours, go enjoy a dog or a sweet Sela day, that would thrill them to no end.
Oh, yeah. And I know from personal experience it would, because my daughter Mary, who lives with me, has a sweet Sela day every month. And I homeschool the two older boys and watch the two littles at the same time. And she runs away around 9 a.m. and doesn't come back till 4 p.m. And she sends me pictures sometimes and of where she's gone and what she's doing with the Lord. It's a great gift. What I did with my sister when, you know, a long time ago, is we would trade houses. Because if you're in your own house, sometimes it's really hard to stop when you see all the work that needs to be done. So she would come to my house when it was my turn with her children and stay in my house with my kids. And I would drive to her house, where I wouldn't feel obligated to clean, and have my quiet day there, and then we'd reverse it. So that is another way for young moms to do it. And in fact, there's a few in my church that have started doing that, watching each other's kids so that they can run away with God, basically, for the day. Yeah. So
you've already talked about how it's possible for young moms to grab this time. Does the length of time during our daily quiet times really matter?
You know what? I think the most important thing is that we do it. I really do, even if it's a 10-minute thing. 10 minutes with God is a huge amount of time, because he's a big God and he can do great things in small amounts of time. And if you're getting up at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. with a little infant, you're not going to have an hour somewhere where you're going to be able to stay awake enough to do a quiet time. You're just not.
Right.
What I did when mine were tiny, they were 15 months apart, was I promised God that first available minute, the one where you finally get to take the shower at 11:30 in the morning, I wouldn't take the shower. I would spend my 10 minutes with God and then take my shower. And there was always enough time. But Lee, if I did other things first, I'd be like, right, we're both down. I'm going to just quickly wash the dishes or, you know, whatever's. I never got to the quiet time. It had to be, for me, the first available minute when they were tiny, and I couldn't get to it first thing in the morning. So women can find their own rhythm, but once the day starts, for most of us, it's harder to stop it and spend that time. So I think 10 minutes in the morning, and if you can get back to it later, cool. But at least you've given him your day. You've remembered whose you are. You haven't just rushed in being, you know, in charge yourself. You've stopped long enough to say, oh, yes, I'm not in charge. And I'm actually glad I'm not in charge, God. So please take this day. And just a few verses in the Word can change the whole tenor of the day.
Well, I think your book is a great way to start a habit of daily devotions. I said that I had an opportunity to endorse it, but as I've talked to moms around the United States, making time to spend time in the Bible and in prayer every day is so hard. And I know that. I've got 4 kids at home. I fought for this time too. And I think we've covered why this should be a priority in our lives. Do you have any advice for women who are trying to make this a new habit this year?
I do. And the first thing is to remember that Satan will condemn and accuse. So if you start to make it a habit and then you like fall off the wagon for a month, the enemy of your soul is going to make you feel so terrible about it that you're not even going to want to try again. I see him do this to women. Instead, what I'd say is, no matter how irregularly you do it, every time you do it, you're that much closer to making it a habit. So if you feel condemned, if you feel accused, notice right away that that's not how God deals with us. It just isn't. Even if we've been like the prodigal son and we've run away and eaten pig slop, the first thing he does when we turn around is hug us. So expect inconsistency at first and watch for the enemy that will make you feel less than. Instead, just try again. I think having friends to start with you is a great way to do it and to call and encourage each other. I also think here are some steps that make it easier. I think that if you choose a place in your house that's kind of yours for that morning time, and if you put your Bible there and whatever devotional book you're using or a prayer journal right there with a pen that you never remove from that place, and if you choose a special drink that you like, I love tea, so I always have a cup of tea to wake myself up with it. If you start building a ritual into it so that there's a rhythm to that and you start with it, I think you'll find that over time it becomes very natural to do it. So that's how I begin. Just be kind to yourselves. Do it because you love Jesus, not because you feel like, if I don't do this, I'm a horrible Christian and I don't deserve, la, la, la. Do it because you love him. And remember that he's awfully gentle and kind with us.
Yeah, I think this is something that we grow in, just like prayer. It's just something that we grow in. And every time we spend time in the Word, it just enriches our prayer lives too. We know him better. Such a gift to be able to catch up with you today, Sharon. And I send all the love from our United States girls. And we love you so much. Sharon, if people want to keep in contact with you, how can they do that?
Oh, I would love that. You can write me at Sharon@sweetsela.org. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest. And I have a website, which is www.sweetsela.org. So I love to hear from women, and I love to encourage women that are just starting out on this very hard thing to do, which is actually dare to meet with God every day.
Sharon, would you go ahead and pray as we end, especially for these women who are trying to make a time with the Lord possible?
Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are the kind of God that no matter how far we run from you, when we turn, you hug us. You don't condemn. You don't lecture us. You hug us. Father, I pray that you would draw each of us ever closer to you, that you would enable us to spend time at your feet, Lord, that times with you would become the most precious of all. Father, be with each woman that wants this, that finds it difficult. Energize her, inspire her, help her, Lord. May she find great joy in even small moments with you each day. Father, there's no better place to be than with you. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sharon.
You are welcome.
What a great reminder that our times with the Lord can be savored. It's worth fighting for, isn't it? You can find show notes for today's episode and learn how you can connect with Sharon at our blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms make the difference. Moms just like you. See you next time.